knows 100% sure who that is. I'll give my opinion that it's probably Paul. But whoever it was finishes with an exhortation to obedience. Not surprising. The primary theme, of course, is the priesthood of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for us and how he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the Lamb of God. But again, he finishes tonight with this exhortation of service. So we start in verse 18 and we'll go down to verse 22 where the Bible says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." So tonight we are focused on that phrase where he said, do his will. And let's go to the Lord. Lord, we just pray that as we look into your word this evening, you'll use this passage in our lives to grow us in our faith, to conform us to Jesus. We thank you for this privilege. May you meet with us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here that he's exhorting every one of us that we, in every good work, do his will. That we fulfill the will of God for our lives. And he's given us some of the ways that that is more likely to happen in our Christian lives. He starts in verse 18 by talking about prayer. He says, pray for us. Now, many of the apostles, but especially Paul, said this in pretty much every one of his epistles. Pray for me, pray for us. We all need prayer. We need prayer to spend time in prayer, but we need prayer for one another. And if we're going to do his will, we aren't going to do it without prayer. We aren't going to do it without having a solid prayer life with the Lord. God created us for fellowship, remember that. And so God wants us to spend time with him. And prayer isn't just asking for things. Prayer is spending time with the holy God that died and rose again, gave us eternal life, and is going to give us heaven forever. He wants us to fellowship with him. And the Bible commands us to pray. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, the Bible says. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And we could go on all evening, continue in prayer, it says in Colossians 4:2, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So if we're going to be Christians that are accomplishing the will of God in our lives, we have to be in prayer. And this is almost like a little mini basics manual of Christianity. Like we talked to the Iwana kids, you know, if you want to live for Jesus, what do you got to do? Read your Bible and pray every day. And so we must be in prayer. We must have a prayer life, but we also must be praying for one another. Remember, we are referred to in the New Testament as priests. And what does that mean? And let's look at it in 1 Peter chapter 2. It doesn't mean that we sacrifice animals on behalf of each other or on behalf of ourselves, but it does mean that we have the privilege of approaching the throne of God on behalf of others. And that is how we carry out our priesthood. Notice the Bible says, verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." That's us. God is talking to us and says, we are a royal priesthood. So we have the privilege, but we also have the responsibility to beseech the throne of God on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, on behalf of the unsaved as well. But we must have a solid prayer life if we're going to accomplish his will. Number two, back to our passage, verse 21. Says he make you perfect in every good work. If we're going to accomplish the will of God and be the Christian God wants us to be, we need perfected. What does that mean? Well, another way to say it would be we need refined. There's always some rough edges. Depending on when we got saved, there might be more than others. But you know what? None of us ever gets there, do we? There's still some areas where we need perfecting. And how do you think, pardon me, how do you think God does that? He tells us in 1 Peter 5, so let's turn over there. How does God perfect us? Well, we're told that the Word is perfect and that it's like silver tried in a what? Furnace of earth purified seven times. We're told here in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "The God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect." God's perfecting process obviously involves the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but it often involves, as it says here in this verse, some suffering. Things get stronger with pressure. We all know that. Things get more refined with fire. Gold, silver, and so forth. And the Bible teaches that that's true in our Christian walk. So when the trials do come, we must recognize that God has a purpose and He's perfecting us so that we can more effectively, what? Do His will. Accomplish what He's called us to do. Because we were created to serve God. We were created for fellowship, but we were recreated as Christians to serve. That's why He left us here. We're here to bring Him glory, but we're here to serve. Look at Ephesians 2:10, and I'll show you that. But when God saved us by His amazing grace, He then assigned us to be His servants, His workers, His soldiers. Notice Ephesians 2, most of us know 8 and 9, right? "For by grace He is saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at the next verse. "For we are His," what? "Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," what? "Good works." So we're saved by grace, as we read there in verses 8 and 9. We're saved by grace, but what does God want? Now we're His workmanship, created unto good works. So God wants us to have a prayer life, and be praying one for another so that we can accomplish His will. He's also going to be perfecting us with whatever means He deems necessary that we might, as it says there in verse 21 of our passage, accomplish good works for Him. Moving on. Verse 21. Again, Hebrews 13. "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So, what does that mean when He says, "working in you"? Working in you. God wants us to allow Him to work in us. That means we have to have a soft heart. And we have to be willing to let Him work in us. We're told, if you go to Colossians 1:9, that one of the things that God wants us to grow in our Christian lives is in the knowledge of Him. That we might do His will, which is the title of our message. You know, the Bible says Ephesians 5:17, I think James preached on that recently. "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Accomplish the will of the Lord. Colossians 1:9, "So this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you," so there it is again, "and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of" what? "His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So God will work in us that we might do His will. And we have in our hands His word. We have opportunity to approach His throne. Go, if you would, to Romans 6. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have so many different ways that God will work in our lives, but we have to let Him. That's the key. We have to let Him work in our lives. How many times has God, even just in the book of Hebrews, did it say, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation? So we have a choice to harden our hearts or to keep them soft, that God can keep working in us. Notice Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from your dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So yield unto God. What does that mean? It means allow Him to work in our lives. We're told in Ephesians 5 as well to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means allow the Spirit to control us. So God wants us to be in prayer. He wants us to be allowing Him to perfect us, but also allowing Him to work in our lives. And then He finishes there in verse 22 of our passage, Hebrews 13. Not surprising, the Word of God. Notice He says, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in a few words. We aren't going to grow and we aren't going to accomplish the will of God without the word of exhortation. We all know that. We must have the word to do His will. We've been given this amazing book called the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Praise the Lord. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Correction. And for instruction in righteousness. So we need the word of exhortation. We need its warnings. We need its advice. We need its caution. We need its exhortation, which means encouraging or lifting us up. We need all of that from this book. But that will not happen unless we open it. Will not happen unless we are in church and open it at home and get into it and study it and meditate in it. So he finishes this book by exhorting all of us to get serious about doing. It's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I know what God wants me to do, but that doesn't accomplish anything. God wants us to do His will. And if we will be Christians of prayer, Christians of the Word, Christians allowing God to work in our lives, having that soft heart, being filled with the Spirit, being sensitive to the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God, but also allow Him to perfect us. So when the trials come, we have the right perspective on them. Our perspective should be, God is using this in my life, like Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what a great exhortation, what a great way to finish the book of Hebrews with, God wants us to do something with our faith. You know, Hebrews 11 is all about faith, right? Whole chapter, over 40 verses about faith, or almost 40 verses, about all these things, but it was what people did by faith. They did things. They accomplished things. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to do things. He wants us to accomplish things by faith. So find out what His will is and do it. And He's given us in the book throughout, but also here in this passage, some of the tools to make that possible and real in our lives. Allow Him to work in your life. Allow Him to perfect you when the trials come, to have the right perspective. But always utilize the tools He's given us, which is the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of His Word, and of course, prayer. So praise the Lord. Let's do His will. Let's pray.